Orale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host. This is your host, Jorge Martin. There we go. There we go. And now I'm bringing on our special guest, El Jefe. El Jefe himself.
That's right, baby. That's right. I'm here for you, Jorge Martin.
Mi amigo, it's so good. It's so good to see you after you gave me that spanking last weekend.
It wasn't a spanking, Jorge. It was a chanclazo, my friend. It was a chanclazo, cabrón. It was
a flying chanclazo.
Can we cuss on this show? I forget. Can we cuss?
It's okay. Family, you know, Mexican families, we cuss. So it's
okay. Good. So good. All right. I'm sorry, but I'm in the lovely confines of Culver City right now, heading to the beautiful Whittier, California. And so a little bit of movement here. Sorry.
What do we know about Whittier?
Where the girls are prettier.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, okay. So I got, some of you may remember Jesse. It's been a little more than a year that he's been on. One of my very good friends. We're both fellow Dodger alumni. And one of my favorite people, and he is current, you know, like the Jeffersons moving on up. The reason why he's El Jefe is president of the Culver City Chamber of Commerce. Mi amigo, how's it going? How was your mixer tonight?
Mixer was great. They had dessert. It was fantastic. You know, Jorge, I think one of the things that we should really be talking about is the other idea we've bandied about, which is the professional eating league and how we should do fantasy for that.
Yes, I would love to do that. Yes. Let's do that.
You know, if you could do a full rack of ribs, that's 7 points. You know what I mean? Something like that. Half rack, you only get 3, not the full 3.5 that you think you're going to get a split. No. You're going to get only 3 points for the half rack of ribs. Okay.
How many per taco?
It depends on the taco. If it's al pastor, you know, you're only going to get 1. Carne asada, you're going to get 1. But if you do buche, hey, I'm going to roll you up to 3 points on that one.
Maybe some sesos.
If you do sesos, you're going for bonus points, baby. You can get 5 on that one. 5 points for sesos.
Oh my goodness! Yes. As I pat myself on the head for that one. So,
well, no pun intended. Very nice. First time I have sesos is in Ensenada, probably 8 years old. My Nino and my dad, we arrived in Ensenada kind of late. I said, "You guys hungry?" I said, "Yeah." They rolled back with taquitos, like a gang full of taquitos. And I'm like, man, this is amazing. I've never had these kind of taquitos before. Why is the meat white? Is this chicken? And my Nino goes, oh, mijo, all there was sesos. I go, okay. I have no idea what it is. So I ask my mother, mama, sesos. She goes, oh, brain. How do you say brain? I say, you say brain like brain. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But they were good.
It was the same way. My dad just said, yeah, tacos de cabeza. He just said, and I was like, oh, okay. And I mean, I didn't even think, I thought, oh, maybe it was just a name. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that there is no part of the animal that we don't use, you know, in Mexican cooking. You know, it's very
efficiency.
True.
It's being about being efficient.
Yeah,
it is about being efficient.
So anyway, so yes, about the chancla that I gave you, you know, there was some mocking when we did our draft, as you recall, that since I think I was in seventh or eighth position, and some folks mocked me for dropping all the way to 14. But actually, you actually kind of figured out my secret, which was really funny. Tua Tyreek and the Brock and Debo combo that I have is pretty stout.
Yeah, you might say that. You know, the thing was, since you love your rookie running backs, I was convinced you were going to take Bijan with one of those first two picks. I was convinced that you were going to do that. And when you passed, I almost passed out. So, yeah.
And then I ended up getting a rookie, per se, you know, in in Davon, but you know, what can I say? You know, a John A. You know, John knows the I gave you, Jorge, by the way. You know.
We give him the Latino name, Machane. So, yes. Totally.
Machane. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I call him Machane because, you know, he's probably Chicano, you know, but nobody knows, you know. You know, those Chicanos that are like, that live above the Mission. They live north of the Mission, all of those guys. You know, I forget what the body was called, but, you know. All those guys that live north of the Mission, they all know what I'm talking about. You know,
all of the Cubanos are claiming him though now. So, you know, down there in South Florida.
Oh, yeah. Ay, our Cuban friends, they're so funny. They're funny.
So, a quick shout out to one of the people in the chat, Alberto. Alberto, thank you for joining us. Muchas gracias. We're going to break down some games tonight. But first off, I want to know, Jesse, you know, this is your first experience with Superflex, using Superflex. Want to know what, you know, obviously you're kicking everybody's butt right now. And, you know, you figured out the draft better than everybody else. But, I mean, it helps when we all let Tua drop down to the 14th pick. But early impressions, because, I mean, it barely passed in our league.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, I love Superflex. I was a kicker devotee. I'm going to admit that. I love my kickers, you know, because really that's the only way we're keeping Latinos employed in the NFL. But actually, there's a lot of you know, non-Latinos, you know, in the kicker position now, which is, you know, which is disheartening, to be quite honest. You know, a lot of these non-Latino kids have figured out how to get to college on a scholarship, and you know what? They're taking advantage, Jorge. They're taking our jobs.
They're taking our jobs. You know. Instead, we gotta get more guys professional leading, and then getting big, becoming linemen like Steve Avila for the Rams, and you know all.
Jesus Christ, that's a big boy. That dude is doing, I don't know, at Christmas, that guy's doing at least 24, 26 tamales, man. And damn, I mean, that guy's a professional leader. That is at an elite level. I'm not there yet. You know, part of it, because I'm only 5'6" and a half. You know, there's only so much intake that'll go vertically. You know, so, you know, but, yeah. There's the other kid, I'm trying to remember what team he's on. Another lineman, another Latino guy. I'm like, man, these are kids that, you know, they make Max, you know, they make Montoya look like a little kid, man. You know, bang! I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, they're all of a sudden, they make Anthony Munoz look like a normal guy. You know, look like a normal looking guy.
He looks just look like, oh, he's only 6 feet. What was that? I mean, Anthony and both those dudes were big boys, but you know,
Munoz was like 6'6", 6'6". 6'3" or 3'10", but you know, now it's like that's a guard.
Yeah, that these are massive people. I don't know what's in the milk, but Jesus Christ, it's like you can see the hormones, you know, for sure, you know, in the milk. Anyway,
hey everybody, make sure you're following Jesse on Twitter at Jesse Hyperactive. No E at the end, so
no E. You know why? Because I picked the longest name humanly possible on Twitter, and I ran out, and that was the maximum amount allowed. But I'm also on Instagram, where you could see lovely pictures of all my family as well, and on Facebook, as they say in Mexico,
Estoy en el face. Vamos al face. I am en el face. Ahí te mando un mensaje en el face.
Yep. And if I got to tell you, one of the funniest things is, you know, we're none of us are going to be on X very long, much longer, so long as Elon keeps destroying the platform. You know.
It was quiet there for a while, but yeah, now all of a sudden, I'm sure maybe it's because of the holidays that he's going to make things extra spicy. So
I honestly think sometimes, you know, there is like somebody has too much money, and you know,
You know, I don't know why he just doesn't make like San Marcos blankets out of them, out of $100 bills, and just, you know, burns them. And, you know, he can do something like that. I mean, do creative things, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to be interesting. But I think the biggest thing that he's benefiting from, and perhaps doesn't see it, is the explosion of fantasy, you know, sports, and how, you know, that was, you know, for the longest time, you know, Twitter or X or whatever was, you know, the way to get the data and the information. So it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, if he can sustain himself. But I could certainly see, you know, DraftKings or FanDuel or, you know, BetMGM or any one of those guys creating their own platform.
Probably. You know? I mean, and there's Threads out there, and you know, that some people, I haven't signed up for that yet. And I think some people are doing some interesting things on TikTok and Instagram. So I think they might be moving over to that. So, I mean, hey, you know what? Hopefully it doesn't. You know, there's tons of, you know, millions of fantasy football followers on Twitter. So, you know, hopefully,
and I think that's part of the challenge, right? That, you know, again, I'm a marketing guy at heart, and I know that there are folks, you know, like yourself, like a lot of people, put a lot of time and effort into, you know, building those followings and building all those things, those, you know, these platforms, and then to watch it all, you know, blow up
because, you know, they don't have our
for some weird reason in the car. You know, to watch it all blow up, you know, is just, you know, it's kind of shitty, you know.
Yeah, it's a little bit. So I mean, hey, let's hope. But hey, let's talk some football. Let's talk about some of the games real quick. I put together, we could talk anywhere from 4 to 6 games depending on how long we're going. You know, how long we're going to go on your drive. But I want to start with the Sunday night football game. Philadelphia at Dallas.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, man.
Give me a quick second. Jorge, I want to get back onto my audio here. Hold on. I'm gonna mute for a second.
Okay.
And okay, can you hear me okay still?
I can hear you just fine.
All right.
So yeah, we got Philly. Oops. We got Philly 10-2 at Dallas 9-3. I think this is, I mean, this week's game of the week, but I mean, we got two games that I think that really, really, you know, have a lot of incredible fantasy implications. The Eagles just got, I mean, they get their butts handed to them by the 49ers last week, and I didn't see it. I thought it was going to be a great game. I thought it was going to be lots of points scored. But okay, let's see. Looks like Jesse is.
All right, I'm back. Sorry. That turned out to be a technical difficulty, but beyond our control.
We're back.
I'm back. No, but anyway, I was just saying that, you know, the people have invested a lot of time and energy into that, you know, to building those things and to try to go to another platform and rebuild. That's you're asking a lot of people. You know?
Would be that day. Well, I wanted to talk about Philadelphia Dallas. So, this game is going to be awesome. It's going to be indoors. There's no, you know, weather's going to be perfect in there. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, the over-under is 52 points. Dallas is favored by 3.5 points. So, I'm looking at this one. This game, after the way Seattle just threw the ball all over the Cowboys, which we hadn't seen all season, and the way Philadelphia has just been bleeding points in the passing game. I mean, can you see this being a big time passing game?
Well, I think you is it really 52? I think 52. This is a 65 point game, man. This is going to be 70 for sure. I really think that. I think you hit it right on the head, and I think that's why you're the Yahoo, you know. That's why you got the Yahoo gig. But, you know, all kidding aside, these are horrible defenses in the secondary. I'm like, you know, it's interesting that, you know, I think the Dallas gets exposed because they haven't played, you know, look at the teams they played. I think every one of their wins was obviously against the losing, you know, the team with a losing record and, you know, not the best quarterbacks and, you know, and you know, God only knows that I have, you know, on my own fantasy, I've flourished because I have two quarterbacks that have still that are still standing. You know, everybody else has gotten killed, right, in our own league. You know, the injuries,
to have DTR start a game, you know, in his first year, I mean, wow. You know, to have some of these, you know, kids that are playing, you know, who's the kid from the Division III school or whatever the hell?
Tommy DeVito.
Tyler Badgett. In New York, right? And the kid out of, you know, the kid with the arm wrestling coach dad or whatever the hell, you know, that I'm like, you know, those are great stories because there's, you know, it's just in preparation for some of the crappiest football we're going to watch, you know.
I know they need that. It's almost like they need that. You know, you know how the stories are a big time, you know, in the Olympics that, you know, that you need the stories because the football that is going to be tough. I mean, there's going to be some rough games this weekend, but this is going to be a great game. I really think it's going to be a passing fest. I think both the thing is both run defenses are very good. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles got run on a little bit by McCaffrey, but McCaffrey's running on everybody.
McCaffrey's on a much different level, and it's quite fascinating to see that, right? That and I think that what you are looking at, you know, I have Mr. Swift on my and he's going to sit on my bench because I respect that Dallas, you know, that front seven is pretty stout, you know, and I think that that's something that is going to be a challenge, you know, for Philadelphia. And then it's going to be a challenge for Jalen, you know, because, you know, the elusiveness that he has, you know, works well with a lot of teams. But I'm not sure if it's going to work that well with Dallas. You know, I just see that it's going to be, you know, I'm trying to remember Philadelphia's slot receiver, but that's going to, you know, I think that guy's going to feast. You know, their tight end's going to feast.
Devonta Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Devontae,
tight end's hurt. The Eagles tight end is hurt.
Oh, did he? Oh,
so it's just it's just AJ Brown and Vaughn. So you got those two guys. Jake Ferguson on the other side is definitely a threat for the Cowboys.
Yep. And, well, that's your guy. That's your guy. He's the only guy that scored any points for you, Jake Ferguson. let's not forget
He scored right off the bat on Thursday, and then everything was just quiet.
I believe the phrase "it went downhill from there" is how we should describe that episode for you.
Fue un desmadre, mi amigo.
All roads lead back to Jorge's miserable experience this past weekend.
Man, I know. I gotta make sure I'm able to sneak into the playoffs. I mean, you're assured to get in, but you know, you got that number one seed locked up. But
I think that 6-7 spot. No, I mean, you know, everything could change right away, and I think again, it's just luck has a lot to do with it, which I think is going to be interesting for Dallas. And I don't know where you're at, but in terms of seeing how Dak's going to perform, you know, in this game, it's going to be telling, man. They've got some, you know, the three out of the next five games for Dallas it's going to be against quality opponents, and it's going to really make, you know, and not make or break, but it's going to really give everybody a sign of what kind of team do they really have. I know all the Cowboy fans that are in my family, you know, just can't stop glowing, you know, especially when you're a Chargers fan, you know, and that's okay. You know, it's ups and downs, but you know, I know who the Chargers are. I know that we have no defense, and you know, that's okay. You know, we know that. And we have, you know, a kamikaze pilot for a coach, you know, got it. Okay. But you know, with Dallas, there's almost this hubris that's developed that they think that they, you know, I'm like, you guys have not been any quality opponents, you know, and look at how, you know, you barely, you know, I say you barely beat Seattle, you know, the way I look at it.
Seattle deserved to win that game.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so to me, it's like, sure. Okay. There's that Public Enemy song. Don't Believe the Hype. That is how I see, that's my statement to any of the Dallas guys. So, anyway.
I will say, I think they're going to score. I think they are going to score some points. I mean, you said it yourself, 65, 70 points. Now, Dallas 3.5 is that hook has me very interested. I it makes me want to bet on Philly. Take Philly.
I would, if it's 3.5, I would take Philly without a doubt. You know, I don't care. You know, you're playing at Jerry's house. I don't care. You know,
No, I think that half a point. I need that. I want that half a point. Yeah, this game could be like 37, 34, 38, 35, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
It's going to run.
It's going to hang on a missed field goal.
Kickers! All right. All right, let's jump to another game. Buffalo at Kansas City.
Man.
The quarterbacks, I mean, it's like Josh Allen was playing really well before they went on the bye, even though they lost that incredible game to Philadelphia in overtime.
Yeah, my guy, Gabe Davis, you know, you got to look both ways when you cross the street, Gabe, and he was only looking one way. Híjole, mijo.
Mijo, Gabriel, cacha la pelota. Oh, he needed it. He catches that. It's totally different. They're 7-5, and they're probably staring at a playoff spot.
Listen, this is like when you had young kids and there's Legos all over the house, you know, it's just like, damn it, I should have walked the other way instead. Sass! And you're screaming like you're like a drunk guy at a mariachi festival. You know, it's like...
I love it. So Kansas City, the Chiefs, they got thrown on last week, but this week it's back in Kansas City. And, you know, no word on if Taylor Swift's going to be there, but.
Right. I mean, we're all anxiously awaiting, you know, the Taylor Swift appearance. I think it's funny because Buffalo is not the same team that started the season. Right. You know, see it's a completely, I don't know what kind of funk, I don't know what kind of cannabis Josh was taking or whatever he's, you know, but he looked like he kind of looked like Cody Bellinger out there. You know, a little bit not 100% with us, and yet was able to sling some throws or whatever. But there was a lot of inconsistency, right? And so, you know, that I think is that ship's been righted. You know, McDermott probably had a mano kind of conversation and said, hey, you know, get your head out of your ass, you know, and let's put this together. You know, the weapons that they have are extraordinary, and for them, you know, to be 6-6 at this point of the season, you know, is all due to that early, you know, that early season inconsistency. What's interesting to me, and you again, you're a much much greater authority than I am on this, but is Kansas City? I mean, I love Isaiah Pacheco, and it seems like he is the only one that's fired up on that side of the ball.
He's the only one. I know he's the only. I mean, Kelsey has had his moments. I know he's been dealing with some injuries this year. It's not because of Taylor. It's not because of Taylor. It's because Kelsey's been dealing with some injuries. You got Kansas. I just think Mahomes is. You know, he doesn't go crazy with the emotions, unless it's a huge play. But yeah, I look at him and. I mean, Pacheco is definitely, you know, he's the one who's got that dog in him. But the receivers, I think the receivers, they just, I don't know what's going on with the receivers. So, I mean, Rashee Rice is the only one. But, you know, Buffalo, you were talking about Buffalo. I mean, they've been so beat up on the defensive end. And they're trying to get, I was just listening to a podcast with a Buffalo beat writer who was talking about the fact that they were trying to sit, you know, they're trying to kind of change him a little bit and make him, you know, not leave the pocket so much and be more of a pocket passer and not take on the bad hits or something like that. So,
I think that, you know, the amount of money that's invested into quarterbacks these days, certainly there's a lot of money. This is probably one of the most expensive quarterback games, you know, we're going to be seeing this Sunday, right? Perhaps, you know, although no, I mean, Dak and Jalen are also in that, you know, in those penthouses. But, you know, the amount of money that's invested, you know, into that position, I really think that there is a I don't want to call it like a coddling, but there's almost this, like, you know, there's this altering of the play to sort of keep them in a safe spot when, and that's all fine and well, and I understand it from a business perspective, but if that's not how the guy is playing, or that's not how he's used to playing, right, it doesn't make any sense to do that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You gave him all that money because he has a certain style of play. As a certain way of doing it, and now you want to change it?
Yeah. Oh.
You know,
hey, we got, compa, we got a question in the chat.
Sure.
Let's see. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jelly of the Month. Lost AR, lost Burrow, but fortunately have a bye. Congratulations. Been playing Sam Howell, but week 16, 17 schedule is brutal. I like Jordan Love. You know, week 16, he's got Carolina. And it's at Carolina. You know, weather shouldn't be too crazy. So it's Carolina's been better against the pass than the run this year. But yeah, you know, the way they're playing right now, hopefully what's going on with Christian Watson isn't serious, isn't long term, because then he might be back by that point. And they have the full complement. And against Minnesota, the way to beat them is going. So I like Jordan Love.
Hey,
Jimmy Burns. Okay,
on the subject of Jordan Love, don't you think that that's his rise has come because of Watson stepping up, or is it one versus, or you know, what is it, chicken and egg? What's your sense of that?
Well, I think Watson, his resurgence has been the last couple of weeks. Jordan Love, mm-hmm. been for the last month that he's been going.
Yeah.
So I think it's I think it's kind of like, you know, I think Jordan Love kind of pulled him up, because Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed have both been playing very well for them, and Luke Musgrave was doing well, then he got hurt. Tucker Kraft is doing well, and he got hurt. So we got a good question from our amigo Jimmy Burns. He's asking for a friend. Is it worth starting Mitchell Trubisky over Josh Downs in the super flex this week?
Jimmy, let's be frank with Jimmy. Jimmy should be starting some kind of wide receiver in his super flex. Neither one of those individuals is going to generate any kind of points.
Josh Downs is the wide receiver for the.
The font is so small. I thought it was Dobbs because the font is so small on my phone.
So yeah, Josh Downs, the wide receiver.
Well, there you go. I said my answer, Jimmy. It's Downs. Go with Downs.
And you know, the game is against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you could throw on them. So yes, I like Downs. I like Downs.
There you go. I'm with the expert on that one.
And he said, pay attention to the road, Chewy. We have breaking news in the baseball world right now. Juan Soto just got traded to the Yankees. So if we didn't have enough reason to dislike the Yankees.
Wow. So they've got Verdugo and Juan Soto. So they're loading up. Everybody.
Aaron Judge.
It is a left-handed batter. Where was the last man standing on that one? Dear God.
Oh, you know. Oh my goodness. I wanted Soto to stay in the National League, you know. And I didn't want him to go to the Yankees, but he's going to do so well in New York. He is going to do so well.
That stadium is built for those guys, you know, for that kind of, you know, that kind of hitter, you know.
Yeah, he's going to hit 35, 40 home runs.
Let's put it out there right now. That's a 42 run. That's a 42 home run season right there.
Yep. Absolutely. In honor of Jackie and Mariano, so 42. So on this one, you know, I mean, we definitely like Pacheco in this game. Wide receivers on both sides. Kansas City's been doing very well against the pass, but I think Stephon Diggs, hopefully he gets home on this one. For you, Gabe Davis. James Cook, kind of iffy because the Chiefs are running pretty well. Kansas City is a 1.5 point favorite. Where are you leaning on this one with a 48.5 point over under?
If this game was earlier in the season, I think that 48 would have been, you know, really a stretch. I think that's a legit 48.5, probably even 50. I could see that, you know, 24 kind of game, you know. Yeah. I think it's gonna, you know, again come down to the field goal. But no, I see that as going. I would take the over on that without a doubt, you know.
Yeah.
And I do see that for whatever reason, and I know they took the loss in Green Bay, but I do see Kansas City. It's hard to root against them, man, I'm deferring to you because you are employed by Yahoo. And that's an important thing to note because that's an amazing, you don't give yourself enough credit. So I'm going to be on the Jorge Martin fan side here, that it's pretty amazing, brother, that you've turned what is in essence a hobby into a gig, a real gig. And man, we're all jealous and we all wish we could do that. So my hat's off to you, and I'm saying it on your forum because you won't say it, but damn it, if there aren't a lot of people who are proud of you, man. So on that front, but
thank you.
But I digress, as I usually do. I think that, to me, it seems like Kansas City is, it used to be like a machine, and it just seems like the machine is like, like when you have like the cog on a wheel, and it's missing one of the little gears, or that one of the gears is worn down just a little bit. So there's a little bit of like a, almost like a skip, it feels like that you're not assured, that level of efficiency that we become accustomed to,
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what's going on. And a little bit with both of these teams, I could see that, but I don't know. I think there's something that's going to come out of both quarterbacks this week, and they're going to put on a show. Allen did it against the Eagles a couple weeks ago, so I think he's going to pull one out again because they almost have to win out to get in the playoffs.
No, if they lose today, the season's over, obviously. But there's a lot of teams that the season was over 6 weeks ago, so you should be fortunate, to be in this position at this point. But nevertheless, it's quite if they don't win.
Man. Oh man, yeah, 6 weeks ago the Carolina Panthers, but we won't talk about them today. So, hey, you know what? Let's talk about your Chargers. Denver coming off a tough loss to the Houston Texans. The Chargers coming off of an ugly win over the Patriots. Jimmy Burns, I know you're a big Patriots fan, so amigo, sorry for your loss, but no, you got 20 years of dominance, so a couple years of not so good. It's okay.
Go ahead and I'll say it. You don't like to say these things because you're employed by Yahoo. Shitty football. shitty football. That's what it's been.
But could this be? I mean, this game, Denver's good. Denver's good in the secondary. The Chargers. There's a part of me that's saying, okay, I don't know if it's going to be a big game, but I think the Chargers got to lean into Eckler a little bit in this game.
I don't know why. Okay, again, now this is where I do my Tommy Heinsohn impression. The Chargers are amazing. No. The reality of it, and there's a bunch of people going up, Tommy Heinsohn, who was that? But the interesting thing about the Chargers is I do think we have a kamikaze pilot for a coach. And I think that for Justin to flourish, I think Staley's a cool, level-headed guy, but in the press conference on the sidelines, I don't know what this man is thinking sometimes, right? And it's almost we are the greatest team at losing by the smallest amount of points. We've solidified that. Hopefully at the postseason awards ceremony, they give us a trophy for that shit. But most losses, with less than 7 points, that's us, right? But the long and short of it is that I think that, it's a miracle that we're 5-7, to be quite honest. I'm not kidding.
They could be 10-2 or 2-10. So
yeah.
You know.
I put the game on and I'm like, befuddled. I have no idea who's showing up. I don't know what team is showing up.
It's usually just Keenan Allen, and but Keenan Allen in this game is gonna get a lot of he's gonna get a lot of attention from Patrick Surtain.
If Surtain and whoever's helping Surtain, they're not double. It's almost like when we watch Miami, and we're all talking about this in our chat. Like, oh my God, you guys did not double team Tyreek. It's the same, you know. So in this game, Peyton's not an idiot, and they are going to double team Keenan Allen and harass him and chip him and do all that shit, you know, because they what's the other, you know, who's going to step up, right?
Well, so, that's a question. Any hope for Quentin Johnston, or is he lost? You know, feels like the rookie rope is shorter than ever.
Quentin Johnston is our Roberto Duran. The man has hands of stone. I'm like, this guy.
No mas, no mas.
I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't said no mas during the game. I'm like, buddy, your job is to catch the football. That's all. You're not asked to eat it. You're not asked to throw it. You're asked to catch the ball. And he's a professional. What is the problem?
I don't get that one. I don't get that one.
No, but what I was going to suggest is that he's very talented, and that's part of the frustration, right? Because, you know, it'd be one thing if this guy was, you know, Ed McCaffrey's younger brother who never made it to the NFL, you know, whatever, right? If he was slow as molasses and he didn't have, you know, and he wasn't a good route runner and all that shit. But I mean, the fact that he gets open is a testament to his ability. But the fact that he doesn't have an 80 catch season has everything to do with, like, is he all thumbs? Is it like, I don't know. Okay.
I mean, you know, coming into the draft, one of his questions was his hands, but I didn't think it was going to be anything like this. I mean,
that question got answered this season.
He's so incredibly talented, and I hope that he figures it out. I mean, if there's anybody who's, you know, he's got one of the greatest mentor possibilities around in Keenan Allen. So,
right.
I mean, he's got to be able to pick something up from him. And, hey, get the jugs machine or something like that. Just you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out because you can't be dropping some of these passes, because I mean, there's been two touchdowns that could have been game changers that he dropped in the last two games. And it's just like, you can't have that happen.
The last two games I've said Jesus Christ more than I have at church because of Quentin Johnston. I'm just telling you right now. You know, who was one of the announcers? Oh, QJ with a just almost a sensational catch. I go, no, that's called not a catch, and not an almost sensational catch. That is like, no, that's called not a catch. It's called a drop. No, but anyway, I just think that when you bring up Eckler, it is about how do we figure out how to get him more involved, and I think it's passing. You know, because I as a runner right now, I'm not so sure if that's the logical, you know, we keep trying to, you know, swim upstream here. And I don't think that that's a feasible, you know, solution. You know, you got some big boys up front, let them run, you know, we let them get in front of him, you know, I'm not going to suggest that he's Deebo Samuel, but, you know, certainly his ability to, you know, the yak that he could, you know, can create for himself is extraordinary. And I just don't feel we're exploiting it.
I totally agree. Right. Totally agree. And, I mean, maybe it's, because he's such a threat. I mean, I know his ankle maybe is not all the way better, but, hopefully he gets, you know, hopefully he gets more involved in the passing game, because I mean, kind of like last year where he kind of carried the team for a little bit when Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were both hurt at the same time. So, get him the ball in space, let him work a little bit on the other side. I think it's I don't know if I trust Russell Wilson even against the bad secondary that the Chargers have going on. I mean, if there's any week, it's this week. But you're definitely starting Cortland Sutton and maybe even Jerry Jeudy in a pinch. I don't know if with the playoffs on the line, if I've got the bolas to start Marvin Mims. So we're doing that one. So on this one, Chargers are favored by 3, a 44-point over under. Which way are you leaning?
I'm going to be a total homer and take the Chargers reason.
I agree.
Is that I think the Denver challenge, you know, is one that they've got to prove. This is another team, you know. They lose, you know, they lose this weekend and it's over, right?
Yeah,
they're hanging on by a thread, you know. But if they lose this weekend, it's over. And I think that's got to motivate these guys, you know. More than anything, and again, I think they have the again, get, you know, dump it off to Eckler. I don't know, shovel pass it to him, you know, do whatever you have.
Target him 10 times. Throw 10 times.
Snap it direct from center to him. I don't give a care how you get the ball to him. Get the ball to him outside of a running, you know, again in that running scenario that I think is not going anywhere. And you know, get that ankle loose, and you know, when you don't have to, you know, focus on getting killed, you know, by a 310 defensive tackle or whatever, you know, you're out there, and you know, he's running against, you know, some linebackers, and that, you know, he's the size of a linebacker, and so, you know, those are guys of equal strength, you know, and I think that would free him up a little bit, you know.
Maybe he's more the size of a cornerback, but
yeah. Well, that's true, but you know, yeah. That's me being Tommy Heinsohn. This guy's like 8 feet tall. He's like 8 feet tall.
Well. Okay, so I'm gonna run through a couple quick ones, and then I want to break down the Rams and the Ravens. Seattle Seahawks at 49ers. I mean, we saw it 2 weeks ago. The 49ers just destroyed them. Now this game's in San Francisco. 10.5 point over under. I mean, Seattle's kind of falling apart on defense right now. I almost feel like the 49ers can put their number up. What? And you're starting everybody on the 49ers, of course.
I think this is play the favorites on this game.
Play the hits.
Simply, just play the hits.
Yeah.
Play all. You're. This is Flock of Seagulls. Play I Ran. Don't do the new songs from the new album that nobody knows. This is, you know, that's what this is. This is Tears for Fears playing Shout. Don't screw it up with some, you know, esoteric, you know, number that you've decided to create now as a 65-year-old rock star. Nope. Just play the hits.
I want to hear Everybody Wants to Rule the World too, though. So I want, exactly. I want to hear that one too. Yeah, both of those. Both of those. So yeah, and do you think the 49ers cover 10.5 points?
You know, it's interesting. It really depends on which version of Geno shows up, right? But yeah. I can see them covering. I do, you know, but you know, quite honestly, you know, all I care about is how many passes Debo catches and how many touchdowns he scores and how many, you know, that's all I care about. You know, well,
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? You talk about the, you know, Debo and everything. Debo actually almost won me a DFS tournament. Had me ahead, and then Kyren Mullins threw that. I told you about that.
Yeah, that's heartbreak, man. I was like that a couple of weeks ago when I took a DK tournament that we were doing, and just by a hair, and lost it. And I stopped watching the updates, going thinking I had won it, and then there you go. It went kapooey.
Well, let's go over to Miami. Your other, Tyreek. Tennessee pass defense is still. I mean, it's a pass funnel defense. You want you pass on them. I honestly think Tyreek could be going for 200 yards in this one.
Oh yeah, okay. How this is only 13.5, you know, maybe they're doing it not to embarrass anyone in Tennessee, but this could be 33 and a half.
I think, yeah. I mean, the game's in Miami. I know it's on Monday Night Football, so you're not dealing with like the crazy heat and humidity and everything like that. But no, this is going to be this. I think you know Tyreek on national television. I think it's gonna be a special game. Keep an eye on the fact that Miami has only one more weather game. And that's, well, I mean, they had their last bad weather game. They played the Jets. They've got, they're home a lot. I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I know they've got Dallas has to come to Miami. I'm looking at this one.
Yeah.
They've got one weather game left, and that's at Baltimore in Week 17. But that game, I mean, last year they scored a bazillion points between the two of them last year. I mean, Lamar had a huge game. Tua had Tua threw 500 yards or something like close to 500 yards in that game. So,
I'm hoping for. I'd be happy with 400 yards. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to go.
400 yards, half of them going to two, having them go to Tyreek.
Half of them going Tyreek, I'm really happy. And if he wants to throw a couple passes to my good friend, Achane.
Let's do it. All right, so last game we'll break down, and then we're going to call it a night. Rams at Baltimore. This is going to be an interesting game because the Rams kind of like found a different gear last week. But
I was surprised.
Going up against Baltimore in Baltimore, I'm looking. I took down some notes. I'm trying to remember. It is supposed to rain, but it's only going to be in the 60s. The temperature in the 60s. Playing on the East Coast, playing at 10 a.m. The Ravens are rested. They just had their bye week. I do like the Ravens this week, but
I'm going to tell you, I have family that are Rams fans. How, I don't know, because you know you're really talking to somebody. You know, you're basically dating the woman who cheated on you. You know, and whatever. But
you just took her back. Just took her back. It's okay.
I took her back because she said she was going to be nice this time. Oh.
20 years later.
Good job, buddy. She took everything. Oh, what a shock. the divorce proceeding. What a shock. But there was no telltale signs at all. Not at all. But I think you're right with you got to go with Baltimore on this one. You know, the Rams look good, but they were playing Joe Flacco. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, Lamar Jackson. The interesting thing is the Rams have gotten beat by the receiver, on a little bit by receivers. So maybe Zay Flowers is a good target this week. I don't know about Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, maybe he's healthy. He did get some targets last time. Keep an eye on Rashad Bateman. But Flowers to me is the guy to get the target very much.
You know,
on the Rams side.
I was just going to say, Jorge, on the firepower. Imagine if just for a second, right? And Flowers is legit, no doubt about it. But if Lamar had two receivers like the Rams have, right? Think about we'd be writing Lamar's, Hall of Fame speech at this point, right?
Yep.
It makes me, it's funny how you see them like almost wasting Lamar's years by not giving him legitimate firepower,
And they lose, and they lost Mark Andrews there. So,
yep.
it's just you definitely want to start Isaiah Likely. The Rams have gotten beaten up a little bit by the tight end position. But, on the Rams side, I mean, you're definitely starting Puka.
And they just – all they got to do is go down.
They got to go down where?
Go ahead, Jorge. Sorry, we have a little bit of a delay.
Oh yeah. I was just saying that you definitely play. You're definitely playing Puka and Kupp and Kyron Williams. Uh, the and kind of hoping for the best. The Ravens have one of the best defenses. They're really strong against the run and the pass. So it's going to be tough for them. I tend to lean that it's going to be Baltimore covering the 7-point spread.
Yeah, at the risk of sounding like Magic Johnson, if you can't pass or you can't run the football, you're not going to win the game.
That's
what I'm saying. I don't know how astute my analysis was there, but it was on Magic Johnson level. But and again, I'm saying all the things that you can't say, Jorge, and that's okay. We know that, and we love you for it. But I think the fact of the matter is that the Rams are as I like to tell my cousins, you know, they're just a bunch of fakers.
I think the Rams may have found something, but yeah,
is it too little too late? Is it too little too late?
They still got to play the 49ers. It's not gonna be easy for them. They've got to play the 49ers, and the Rams are very good, but I think the Ravens are just on a different level, and they're so much better. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens. The 40 seems about right. On the over under, I think that's, I see a 23-21 game. I see it, 24-21 game, something like that. I think the Rams will put up some scores, but ultimately though, I think the Baltimore defense is going to, as I'm talking about it right now, right? If Baltimore shuts them down completely, it's going to be interesting. I think they, certainly the Rams had success against Cleveland because Williams was back running the ball, and Royce Freeman did okay, when he was hurt, subbing him out. I thought that was a great pickup from them. But ultimately, though, that is where he's been the ability to have that running game, really helped him out tremendously, right? And helped out the passing game tremendously. So if that's not there, I think it's going to be challenging.
Oh my goodness. Mi amigo, I'm going to, I think we close up shop. I think we're going to close up shop on this one. I ran out of games. I think, we got a couple of comments. I want to see if there's any other questions. Let's see. Game overboard. Muchas gracias for saying hello. Rams upset the Ravens. Maybe. I mean, if Aaron Donald goes in there and just wrecks everything, it could be crazy, but it's gonna be hard. And Mr. Scampers, muchas gracias for saying hello, saying howdy. Oh, it's awesome. He and I were in a league together, and we both got knocked out of the playoffs. So it's all good. It's all good. Oh man, Papi. Oh, I'm so glad you joined me on your drive home.
Well, I'm almost in Whittier, so I started in Culver City. I'm currently at the 105 710 interchange, so I still got about another 15 minutes to go. So we should do this every day, Jorge.
Podcast on the drive.
I'm free.
So, oh man,
I put the fear of God into other people. Hang on, here's my drive, real quick. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, mi amigo. All right. Well,
so hopefully there's no – I just gave out my coordinates, Jorge. So hopefully there's no CHP guys watching this.
Man.
There you go. Hey,
follow mi amigo, Jesse, at Jesse Hyperactive with no E at the end. Yeah, please make sure to follow him. And, hey, familia, you can let's just say a couple more. We got – Oh, yes. Jimmy Burns, bravo, fellas. Appreciate the insight and the entertainment, always, always.
And we're here for James. We're really here to serve James. That's really yes. what we're doing here.
Yes. And Dame Overboard, I got knocked out. Did you get knocked out? I got knocked out of the playoffs. So, hey, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. I had a blast. The draft is everything anyway. So, oh, man. All right. Mi amigo.
All right.
Muchas gracias. Everybody,
you got it, Jorgito.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.
We are.